Welcome in to Run the Damn Podcast, another edition on a short week. Craig, I don't know about you, but after the last podcast, the first thing I did was I hydrated. Sure. I got a lift in and I started preparing for this one on a short week because you know what? That's buy-in for you.
Yeah, I know we have a lot of loyal viewers out there and listeners out there. I'm sure they caught our injury report this week. We were both listed as questionable, but good to see that we both came to play this week. Two podcasts in 1 week. That's big stuff for us, Rob.
It is. And I, of course, was questionable with general soreness. I don't know what yours was, but I'm usually in the general soreness territory. We're doing an early podcast because the Patriots played on Thursday Night Football. They beat the Jets 27-14 in a game that underwhelmed some. I was whelmed. I enjoyed it.
Good to know you're whelmed.
Whelmed, yes. And the Patriots are now 9-2. They have guaranteed themselves a winning season after back-to-back 4-13 seasons. They have the best odds to win to get the one seed in the AFC.
Yep.
What is your number one takeaway from the Patriots 27-14 victory in their gorgeous storm blue uniforms and white helmets with the Patriots logo on the side?
And I gotta catch off right there. These storm blue things, like, knock it off. Not a uniform guy. Just give me the red Pat Patriot once a year. Otherwise, I don't care what pants they wear. I don't care what shirt color they have on. As long as it doesn't match the other team, I'm good. But as far as the game goes, I am a purist. As far as the game, you know, May does it again. I think Henderson obviously has, you know, I think we'll get into it here, but Henderson starts to feel like he's, you know, escalating a little bit while Stevenson's out. Wasn't the prettiest game. I wouldn't say I was whelmed on either side, over or under. I think they just kind of, it is what it is. It's a short week. Just get the W. They've played 11 straight weeks. I don't have an issue with it. I think it would have been nice to see them kind of finish it off a little bit when they got that turnover at the end, punch it in for 7 and really give that exclamation point. But you know what? They won. They beat a team that they should have beat. There was really no threat of losing that game after, you know, that opening touchdown for the Jets. So I'm happy. 9-2 is 9-2. And I mean, you know, we keep changing the expectations of this team, I think. And now it's really changing a bit here, Rob.
Yeah. Drake May is really ridiculous. And he's so good at maneuvering in the pocket now. It's crazy how many, like, just really nice step up, move right, step up, move left, mm-hmm. You know, hit the guy in stride. I still give McDaniels a lot of credit. So many wide open receivers. It's just shocking to see guys running wide open. Diggs, obviously, great game. He's so reliable.
Yep.
I'm really impressed by the Mac Hollins explosion with Kayshon Boutte out. It's nice to know that you're deep at that position suddenly, but it's also nice to know that, like, a team that where depth might be a concern, someone is out, another guy steps up. It feels like the culture, the vibes, all that stuff about this team is just so good.
Yeah, and the wide receiver, you know, room really changed to me after that, the last time they lost against the Steelers. Now, to me, you know, the Diggs has kind of taken over. Obviously, they've kind of fallen into place of where they need to. Like, you know, I've been harsh on Demario Douglas a bit on this podcast. He, for a number four receiver, I'm good. Like, yeah. To me, it's just a matter of when he was starting the year, getting all these passes early, and just he should be a gadget type player, not a every down get him the ball. He's not that talented. But
yeah,
Diggs, Hollins, Boutte, obviously Booty's out, but you know, they can use Henry pretty well. You know, they get him involved early, I feel like, in a lot of these games. I agree. It started out as like, oh my god, we were talking about Efton Chisholm play,
and now I know, it's like, it's crazy.
Now it's like, whatever, he'll just do his special teams thing and be on the P squad, and it's fine. Unless there's injuries, I think they, you know, I am a little concerned about not having Boutte just because May has such a good rapport with him, but for now, no need to rush him back.
Yeah, and it's not like it's like a debilitating knee injury or something. It's, you know, it's a hamstring that they're probably being cautious with. Douglas did what you mentioned, Douglas. He had that sick route on that fourth down conversion, so good job by him. The defense gives up another opening drive touchdown. This season, on the first two drives of the game, the Patriots have allowed 82 points. They settle in. It was annoying to see them give up another touchdown, but like 14 points in a game is just not a lot. So you kind of suck it up. What are your thoughts on the defense? And does that first drive thing bother you?
It bothers me in a sense that at some point it's not gonna be sustainable. At some point you give one up and then the offense turns it over and now you're down 14-0. I did look up a stat that it kind of relates to the defense a little bit, but it's really more about the offense. You know how much they've trailed, because it plays into the first touchdown of the game. You know how much they've trailed in the second half of games during the winning streak?
Oh boy, let me think here.
So just talking the eight games, you know, we're talking 240 minutes, 30 minutes times eight, 240. How much have they traveled? How much have they trailed in the second half?
4 minutes.
Close. 2 minutes and 47 seconds.
Wow. Because was it all the Bills game?
It was the Bills game. Yeah, that was it.
It's crazy.
The defense in general, I'm not worried about them overall. I think they have been very fortunate. We talk about a lot, just not a ton of major injuries. Obviously, Milton Williams leaving was,
sounds like he's going to be okay.
Not ideal, but yeah, I mean, he came back in, and then I was like, what are we doing here? We can beat the Jets.
Yeah, then they took him back out,
which was smart. But for me, I'm not worried about the defense, but I just know, I've seen enough football, and so have you, obviously, to know that at some point, you keep giving up these first drive touchdowns, and then all of a sudden, a fluke thing happens, a tip pass, and it's a pick six, and it's like, then the game starts to get out of hand. Can we start by settling, holding them to field goals?
Against
touchdowns every game.
Against bad teams, I think you sit there and you think, all right, the offense is going to move down the field and score. But if you're at home coming off the wild card bye because you got the one seed, and Kansas City comes into town and Mahomes goes down the field and scores a touchdown, you are really nervous sitting in your seats there. So that it is a situation you need to clean up. The other thing, this is weird. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I really have noticed necessarily, but and it hasn't impacted them too much. They're 9-2. The Patriots, when the other team is in a goal to go situation, first and goal, 100% touchdown rate. So the Patriots defense, I think, is good between the 20s for the most part, besides that opening drive. I think they've been solid. When teams move deep into their territory, they need to find a way at some point to force field goals. And to be fair, they did that in the Bills game. Not in goal to go situations, because it's always been a touchdown, but they forced field goals in the Bills game, but forcing field goals has been a little bit of an issue for them when teams move deep into their territory.
Do you have concerns in general about this team not, and this is a long-term question, but not being battle tested enough?
No.
You don't?
No, I don't know. And the reason is because I've seen too many teams play this well. And everyone always says, oh, well, they played a soft schedule. And then they end up winning the Super Bowl. The 2001 Patriots played an absolutely garbage schedule. They won the Super Bowl. The 2017 Eagles did not play a good schedule. They won the Super Bowl. I'm trying to think, those are teams I watch. It's happened before. I think the key is if they're playing a soft schedule and their point differential was low, they didn't look as good, I'd be concerned. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like if you're kicking the crap out of the teams on your soft schedule, then I think that's only a good thing. It raises your confidence. It gets you playing good football. I am not worried about them being battle tested. No,
to me, I'm not worried about it again. I think they can only play who's on their schedule. It's not like they pick every week. Oh, let's play this shitty team. You know, it is what it is. The one thing I've liked is, their two, most quality wins we'd say probably are what? Buffalo and Tampa, right?
Yep.
Easily could have had a letdown after the Buffalo game. Didn't.
Correct.
Could have had a letdown after the Tampa game. Didn't. It's just nice to see that they're keeping their focus, in scenarios where they easily, we've seen teams many times be like, oh, I'm just going to lay an egg. And they haven't done it. They've stayed focused. And now, we've talked a lot about the schedule, but they've played 11 games. They now get the mini bye, as do we. And then they have two more games and then they're on bye again. So it's like then potentially you could be looking at playing the last three or four games and then having a bye for the playoffs. So it's like they're in a scenario where they could really, if they take care of business here, could be looking at a lot of weeks of rest and helping them, get healthy for any of the guys that are down.
Yeah, I'm personally looking forward to seeing my family this weekend. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take advantage of that.
There you go.
they still do, you know, you still got another Buffalo game. You still got Baltimore on the road with Lamar Jackson back.
Yep.
You're not going to see Joe Burrow. Also, bold prediction, they're scoring 50 against Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's defense is terrible. I don't know how bold that is.
Beyond terrible.
It's, I think, beyond 60 might need to be bold.
It's just so beyond terrible. So like, I think you'll play some good teams late. The weather will get worse. Yep. You'll be playing in a really, really, really cold game at some point. You might see some snow. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just not, I think it's the way you win and how well you execute and the vibes being good and all that stuff, I think matters more than like, you know, who's battle tested and who's not. The other thing is some teams get overly battle tested and it wears them down.
Yeah.
And I would rather have the Pats fresh and playing well. And if they lose in the playoffs, which obviously can happen, I don't think I'm going to look at it and be like, oh man, you know, they didn't play enough good teams this year on their schedule. That's not going to be the reason they lose.
Do you think, I think you just kind of hit on it a little bit, but I'd written down a question to ask you that I had been kind of battling with. Do you think this is a culture / talent success, or is this beating up on an easy schedule, or both? I think both is obviously the easy answer, but what do you think? Do you think this is more about Vrabel and the team coming together and they're just not annihilating teams, but just they're making it look easy? Or do you think this is just they're just beating up on bad teams and they're not as good as their record indicates?
It's more the first one. I think it is the culture, and really? You know, the guys won't stop talking about it too, which is a sign. But look, Vrabel's intoxicating. He is, you know, like I was skeptical at first. I knew he was a good coach. I didn't think he was as great as people thought, but like he really manages coaching hard and having everybody love each other really well. And this is the team I see. Like I feel it with this team. So I don't, you know, I think they could play some harder teams on their schedule and still win. I mean, maybe it's the conference. Like, I don't know. You know, if you got some of those like powerhouse NFC teams, maybe those are a couple losses, but I still like the vibes. I still like the character of the team. And they seem to like be like following Vrabel. Like it's, you know, this is the guy. This is like what it is. And you hear May talk about him in the post game show last night. It's like they are in love with this guy. So it's I go culture over soft schedule.
Okay. Do you, and this is not fair to the person who I'm about to mention, but I'm going to do it anyway, because we have this platform. Let's say they've signed every player, every offseason move is the same.
Okay.
Gerard Mayo's the head coach.
Yeah.
What's the record right now? And I guess for the argument, you know, the purpose of the argument, let's say Josh McDaniels is not the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, they ain't 9-2. I think it could be bad. I think 4-5, 5-4.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. I don't know if they beat Miami week 2. They might start the season 0-3.
Yep.
Snowball from there. Yep. I don't know how much the guys buy in. I don't know how much May develops. It could be, even with the schedule, I think it could be ugly. I still think May is the more important guy. I think we learned our lesson. Not that he's Brady and not that Vrabel's, you know, chop liver, but like, I think we learned that the players are the reason. But I don't know if May develops the way he has without the good coaching that they have. And I don't think that the team can be as resilient as it is without the coaching.
I'll say it, Rob. They played 11 games. They'd be 3-8.
Doesn't even matter. I don't even think about how the games won. They would just be
3-8. Don't even worry about it. Just do the math and realize maybe 4-7, but 3-8 is my 3-8 is where I'm at.
This takes us into my next exercise, because I find this fascinating.
Yeah.
Because Drake May has been so good. He's the current favorite to win MVP in the league. Mike Vrabel is the current favorite to win Coach of the Year. So I ask you, top 5 most important Patriots, including coaching staff, but not Vrabel.
Yep.
Not named Drake May or Mike Vrabel.
And I can't include Brendan Schooler, right? I have to keep him off the.
You're allowed. I will say I notice him less than I noticed Matthew Slater. there have definitely been times where somebody else made the tackle and Schooler's just there to absolutely like rock out with that guy as soon as he makes the tackle. You're allowed.
Remember when he tried to give the ball to Belichick, or was it Belichick?
I think it was. Yeah,
so good.
He's wild, man. He's wild. The guys in the locker room talk
like,
about
what am I supposed to do with this?
They talk about him like he's like the funniest dude in the locker room. Yeah. So credit to him. But yes, top five most important Patriots this season, not named Drake May or Mike Vrabel.
Okay, here we go. Number five, Milton Williams. No, you saw with the run defense, you know, for all that, oh, they haven't given up a 50-yard rusher. They gave up two guys at over 50 yards last night, if you include Justin Fields.
Yeah.
But he wasn't out there. I do have concerns about the run defense if he's not out there, you know, when it counts. Number four, Will Campbell. I think he is playing better than a lot of people thought after all the whole T-Rex arm situation in the offseason. He's proving why he was drafted as high as he was. No concerns about him whatsoever. Love the mentality. Love the game. Number three, Josh McDaniels. You know I'm a big fan of him. I wonder if you're going to have him higher on your list, but I'm pretty confident he'll be in your top five. But for me, it's what we talked about earlier, the play calling, the mixing, the matching, getting the most out of May. If Alex Mann, you know, we just did the Gerard Mayo exercise. If Alex Mann Pelt's the offensive coordinator with Vrabel, record's probably not 9-2.
Yeah.
Number two, Christian Gonzalez. Even though he could have given up a 70-yard pass last night, to me, he brings the swagger that this defense needs. Anytime the Pats have had success, they've had a shutdown number one corner. Kid's a real deal. Let's go. Number one, Stephon Diggs. I think he has made such a big impact on this offense. Obviously, McDaniels has as well, but Diggs, we've talked about is how he's made these younger QBs better. There's something about him and the way that he's, I think, come back from his injury, even though it happened with another team. I think it's kind of inspired some of these guys to be like, holy crap, like this guy works his tail off. He's in there all the time. He's working hard. So we have a legitimate number one receiver probably for the first time since Edelman, I guess. And he was obviously more of a slot guy, but and Diggs has played obviously a ton in the slot, but to me, Diggs, I wrestled hard with one and two. I just think Diggs, for the help that it gives May, I had to give that the difference over Gonzalez. But I want to be clear, I am petrified if Christian Gonzalez goes out. I do not want to see anybody else play cornerback. So please stay healthy, Christian.
All right, so very little drama here. If you take Josh McDaniels and Christian Gonzalez on your list and flip-flop them, we have the exact same list. I have Milton Williams 5, Will Campbell 4, Christian Gonzalez 3, Josh McDaniels 2, Stephon Diggs 1. Milton, it's funny. Milton Williams has been very good.
Yep.
I don't think he's been, like, amazing. But I think it's what he represents, which is the most expensive player on the roster and the biggest priced free agent being successful in year one. Yeah. I think that's really important. I think this team needed that. I think Will Campbell's been awesome at left tackle. I know he's given up some sacks, but like they needed this left tackle play for any success to happen, and they got it. Gonzalez obviously missed a little bit of time. I don't think they've lost a game since he returned. I don't think he's been perfect, but like he's clearly settles the defense down. And as far as like talent at their position, Christian Gonzalez might be the most talented player they have outside of Drake May.
Yeah.
McDaniels too, just because I don't understand like what he's done with May and how open he's getting these receivers. I have to give the scheme credit for that. Absolutely. And then one, I have Diggs because wherever he goes, he seems to elevate the quarterback. My point on this was not just who's on the list and what the order is. It's that, and I think most people have picked Steph Diggs in this that I've talked to. Are we really, this team is the best team in the league record-wise, and their third or second best player and third most important player is a 30-year-old receiver. And after that, it's guys who are playing well, but not necessarily playing like superstars. To me, when I did this exercise, I realized how unbelievably good the quarterback and the coach have been this year.
Yeah.
And also, do I look at this and say, wow, what a team of like not individuals, just a team? Or is it that they still have so much room to improve this roster?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I obviously now is not the time to talk the offseason, but, I think for me, cornerback is where I would look to draft in the first round next year, just because I think you can never have enough good cornerbacks. But I think what's interesting about this exercise, and we proved it obviously with the top five being the same, I think after you get through those top five, and again, our top five had a coordinator. It wasn't even a player.
Yeah.
So I would be curious to hear what your take is. And I know I didn't rank it. I'm trying to think on the fly here. If we were to say, who's the sixth most important player?
Oh, I know who mine would be.
You do. All right. Give me.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I feel like I could name five guys that it could be.
Kalavon.
It's my boy.
It's Kalavon Chase.
And he wouldn't even be my answer.
I know. And it's funny because if they ended up getting edge rushing help at the deadline, he might be the guy that ends up becoming the rotational guy. But he's been awesome.
He's been great.
Yeah.
I think I would probably, if I thought about it, which I'm doing while talking, I think I might say Morgan Moses or somebody else on the offensive line, just because we saw what the offensive line looked like last year. And I guess that's kind of where my point is. It's like there's that small core. It kind of aligns with you. There's that small core, and one of them's, as you mentioned, a 30-year-old receiver. But thankfully, the other's a 23-year-old, cornerback and a 22-year-old left tackle. But I just think, I think 6 through 15, if we extended the list, and I'm not suggesting we do it in this moment, but if we were to extend the list 6 through 10, we might have, eight different players, eight, nine, 10 different players. Because, like, and to me, I wrestled with Morgan Moses. I wrestled with Barmore. I wrestled with Carlton Davis for the same reasons as, can I throw another name out there that you're going to be like, holy hell? Jalen Hawkins.
He's been very good.
He's somehow been very good.
He has.
And
Woodson's been solid too.
Yeah. But we'll get into, grading their rookie stat, rookie picks later, but it seems like they just crushed it. I mean, Jared Wilson wasn't obviously a first round pick, and you're not hearing a word about him, which is how you want
to. That's what you want. I haven't heard on one of them either. So I have to assume on one who's played well.
Right.
It's funny though. So Steph Diggs is on pace now. He's on pace for back over 1,000 yards. He'll probably finish in between 1,000 and 1,100, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
He's not going to be like a top four AFC wide receiver.
No.
Yardage wise. He's only caught like two or three touchdowns. There's a chance that this team goes 14-3, 13-4. Their Pro Bowlers will be Drake May.
Yep.
And maybe Milton Williams,
Christian Gonzalez will definitely make the Pro Bowl.
So that's usually when you have a team like that, they got, that's like your 6-7 Pro Bowl team. This is not
6-7.
Oh, you can't God. Do that. Is that,
you can't do that to me.
I still,
God, I'm right really, in that wheelhouse. I'm right in that wheelhouse right now.
Do your kids go with, do they talk about, do they God. Really?
All the time.
My God. Thank God all my kid's time. Only in kindergarten, has no idea what that is.
You also just respectfully, you missed somebody pretty important for the Pro Bowl. And I'll just.
Oh, boy. A schooler? Is that what you're going to say? You.
Yes.
Oh,
show some respect to the special teams.
Yeah. The AFC special teams, they're going to need someone to pump them all up when they make a tackle on special teams. Although there is no Pro Bowl anymore. There's no game.
Whatever.
They got rid of it.
Good. Good. Oh, man. Breaking news.
Yeah.
Can I say one more thing before we move on to the other slate?
Yes.
So it kind of ties together what we've been talking about a bit. I have a little bit of an analogy for what this Patriots team is reminding me of this year. And you're probably thinking, Craig.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about it. Yes.
This is, no, it's all good. You're probably thinking, Craig, What Patriots team does this remind you of? Or what other NFL team? Not going there. They remind me of a baseball team. They remind me very much of the 2013 Boston Reds.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
They were a last place team the year before. They had some free agent signings, obviously Victorino, Napoli, some other guys that I'm forgetting, Dempster. They had very low expectations and obviously started exceeding them all year. And I feel like I'm doing this with the Patriots now. And obviously baseball is just such a longer season. You just feel like, is this going to happen? Is this going to happen? When are they going to let down? Is this going to keep happening? And then it's like game six of the World Series. And you're like, is this going to be the game where they let it? And there's just, they never did it. I think that team like never lost more than three games in a row that entire season, which is very hard to do in baseball. That team obviously had a lot of good vibes. Obviously there was the tragedy at the beginning of the year that kind of brought them together, but I think they just had a lot of guys with some good personalities. Seems like the Patriots do this year as well. Vibes are high. It's what you talked about earlier. They just, to me, they have that kind of feel to them.
Yeah, no, I that's a good comparison. That was the year they beat the Cardinals in the World Series.
Yes.
That was a fun series. I remember that was
Me and Papa K were in the stands for the clincher as
that
fans.
Was that game three where they lost on the Fuller interference, the obstruction of third base?
Yeah, Will Middlebrooks.
What a wild series. Yeah, that was fun.
And then they won another game because Koji picked off a guy.
That's right.
In the ninth, he picked off somebody at first base. So
that was
like back-to-back games. But yeah, I was there with Papa K for game six. Celebration was bonkers. First time they punched at Fenway in like 100 years.
That's right. So you know what team this Patriots team reminds me of? I mentioned them already on this podcast. The 2017 Philadelphia Eagles is who this team reminds me of. Second year quarterback taking an unbelievably huge leap.
Yep.
And a culture and vibes that you just can't even pretend to replicate if you're another. Like that team was so, I mean, you still see it like LeGarrette Blount and Chris Long are like, we're Philadelphia Eagles for life. It's just kind of the way we are. And they both Chris Long spent a second year there, but Blount was there for 1 year. That was a team that was like just built on their culture and their second year quarterback having an unbelievable season. Now, look, if Drake May gets hurt, that's it for the Patriots. They don't, Josh Dobbs isn't going to, lead them to the Super Bowl. So like, it's not, the comparison ends with the quarterback that's starting now and the vibes, but they do remind me of that team. And that's another team, like you said, that where you're the whole season, you're like, are they actually going to do this? Are they going to do this?
Yep.
And then they do it. Yep. So we will see. I do believe in this team more and more as the weeks go by.
Okay.
Now, if you're a Patriots fan, not only are you excited because the team is 9-2, but what a week to have a Thursday night game. Because this Sunday slate is bonkers good. What an awesome day to just sit in front of the couch if you have that kind of time. And if you do
sit in front of the couch, God bless you. On the couch.
Did I say in front of the couch? I meant in front of the TV.
Okay.
You can sit in front of the couch too. Sometimes sitting on the floor with your back against the couch is a nice thing.
Just don't sit on the TV.
But if you got the time to do 7 hours in front of the TV this weekend, God bless you. I wish I could be with you. So we have 1 o'clock this week. Mm-hmm. The Bills play the Bucks, which is a good game. 4 o'clock. Now, here's the interesting thing that's annoying to me. The 4:05 game, which is not a national window game, which stinks, is Seahawks-Rams, which is unbelievably good. Unfortunately, not 4:05. Not 4:25. At 4:25, you have Broncos-Chiefs, which is another great game. And if you have Sunday Ticket and you can watch both, God bless you again. I don't have the time. Once that whole afternoon's done and you're soaking it all in, you got Eagles Lions Sunday Night Football. So you could
get in for as low as $235 right now if you want to get in there for.
Oh, there you go.
For the Eagles, although it's $248 to get into KC Denver.
Oh God.
Good grief.
I'm not traveling this weekend. I am just. Yep. Fathering, well, already. So, I'm just playing parent. The 4:25 time slot is not a parent slot.
Yeah, the parents don't get the bye week.
Nah, it's like every TV in the house is just on, so that in case I end up in a different room, I can at least like have my eye on it.
Yep.
You had a good idea right before we came on of ranking these games. How do you want to rank them? Because I have mine as far as like how
my ranking is,
how fun they would be to watch.
I guess my rankings were games I'm most interested in seeing what happens. But
sure.
Okay. I feel like you always team me up to go first.
I will gladly go first.
Take the lead, my friend.
What do you want? You want me to go backwards or forwards?
You know, one little bit about no. Let's go forward. Start with your okay. first.
Your number one. Your number one for
you
me.
Won't
is,
talk about your fourth as much.
Yeah, true. Number one for me is Seahawks Rams.
Okay.
I think Seahawks have probably maybe the hottest team in football. The way they're just blowing teams out. Mm-hmm. They probably have the best defensive head coach in football, and they're going up against maybe the best offensive head coach in football in Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. The Rams might be the second hottest team in the NFC. They might be the two best teams in the NFC for all we know.
Right.
And I'm just like fascinated to see if Sam Darnold can win in a big moment like this. Matthew Stafford is obviously right there with Drake May's MVP candidate. It's just power on power the whole way. It should be a really fun game.
Who do you think wins?
Oh God.
We get to make
Seattle,
predictions.
Right? It's
this
in Seattle,
great.
Right?
This is the game is in LA.
Oh, it's in LA.
Inglewood.
God, I still
this is
you know
great.
What?
We get to make predictions for the Friday episode.
I'm gonna
this
go.
Is wonderful.
That's true. I'm gonna pick the Rams only because okay. I think Seattle might be due okay. for a loss. So I'm going to pick the Rams reluctantly, but this is my number one game because I really don't know.
I'm picking the Seahawks. Just that's my pick.
All right. My number two is Eagles Lions because okay. I think these are the four best teams in the conference. Like this could be the divisional playoffs. Seahawks, right. Rams, Eagles, Lions.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell took over play calling. I think that's fascinating. Both teams are really good. The Eagles defense was solidified at the trade deadline. I think their pass rush is back. They got Nolan Smith back. They got Jalen Phillips, who was awesome in Green Bay. Yeah. There's drama. Hey, Coop. There's drama around the Eagles. They usually respond to drama really well during the Sirianni era. Every time there's drama with them, they come out and they play great.
Yeah.
So I'm fascinated by this game. It's in Philadelphia. Jared Goff. It's so weird that they play in Detroit, Michigan, and he's bad outdoors because they play their stupid games inside.
I know.
But Jared Goff, 40 degrees, windy, not great under pressure. Fantastic when he's not pressured. So like, I think this is another game, strength on strength, Lions offense against Eagles defense. Mm-hmm. Lions play a lot of man. Eagles passing game kills man. They don't see it very often, but they kill it. Here's the other thing. The Eagles are very, very healthy. Their whole roster practice. The Lions are very not healthy. A lot of guys out of this game, including Sam LaPorta, which hurts them. But I do really, really, I'm pumped to see this game.
Eagles only favored by 2.5. Eagles only favored by 2.5.
Yeah, that's true. But I think the Lions have been playing better, so it'll be interesting. Yeah. I right. do, if I have to pick this game.
Make your pick.
I do think the Eagles are going to win, but I could not tell you how this game will go.
Lions are going to win this one.
Yeah.
I'm picking two
very
road
possible.
Teams.
Very
I'm
possible.
Two road teams already. All right, so give me, who's third? Is it Tampa, Buffalo, or KC, Denver?
No, it's KC Denver. Mostly yeah. because I think that I'm more fascinated by the result. This is one of those games where if you're a Pats fan, either result is good for you. You know, mm-hmm. you're either putting KC even deeper in a hole with another tough game coming up. They play the Colts after this, or you're really getting your footing for that one seed. If I were a Pats fan, I think I'd rather, you know, take the one seed. And assume that there's a chance the Chiefs make the playoffs anyway. I don't, you know, you should be rooting for Denver to lose, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And also, like, don't be scared. Is kind of how I look at it. But
yeah,
I'm fascinated with the way this goes. Yeah.
It's too early to be like, well, if this team loses and this team wins, I think you're right. I think you got to go
take that, one seed, take a stranglehold.
Yeah, like, take that one seed or at worst, the two seed. It's like start separating. I think I'm taking a third road team. I think Kansas City.
You know, it's funny. Denver's such a tough place to play, but I'm taking Kansas City too. Andy Reid off a bye is really good. Bo Nix has been not playing well enough to win this right. many games in a row, so I'll take them. And then last, Bills Bucks. Kind of wish that the Seahawks Rams and the Broncos Chiefs were separated. But Bills Bucks is a solid game, obviously.
Yep.
it's interesting because both teams need a rebound. It's, you know, this is an interesting spot for both teams. Both have, what, three losses?
Yep.
7-3 looks a lot better than 6-4. So this game is in Tampa.
It is in Buffalo.
It's in Buffalo. Okay. I like the Bills then. I don't like Tampa and Buffalo. It's going to be effing cold everywhere in the Northeast this weekend. So I'm going Bills.
I like the Bills too. And just keep in mind we've talked a lot about, the Chiefs being, lower in the standings this year than they have been in years past. You know, there's a scenario if the Bills were to lose this game, obviously they're significantly behind the Patriots in the AFC East, but then if things play out differently, Bills could miss the playoffs. And then my God, we may have to have Andy Santillo as like a third co-host for like multiple weeks if the Bills miss the playoffs. Yeah. Here's your 30 seconds, Andy. I know you're a loyal viewer and listener. Hopefully you catch the weekend episode, which any Bills thoughts in general? I think they'll be fine, but this is really just a mess with Andy more than anything.
By the way, how much does it suck that Carolina couldn't beat the Saints?
I know.
You could be looking at an NFC South switch in first place for like the first time. It feels like 10 years.
I know.
If the Bucs were to lose this game and the Panthers were to win, but no, they had to lose to the freaking Saints and score 7 points.
No. All right, so my list, again, we kind of jumped in and chatted as we went there, so I don't really need to go too far into it. But for me, Seahawks-Rams is my number one as well. Yeah. Even as an AFC guy, I'm curious. I'm fascinated to see what happens there. I think both teams have been playing incredible football, and, you know, you talked about it could be a divisional weekend matchup. This could be an NFC title game matchup. Yep. So looking forward to that one. For me, second, this is where we're a little different. I think KC Denver is, you know, again, what we talked about, the one seed, you know, and how that affects the Patriots.
I have trouble watching 60 minutes of Bo Nix.
I'm going to have more thoughts on that in a second as I make my way down my list. I agree, but I think Mahomes is still, you know, Mahomes is like watching Brady. It's like watching Jordan. It's just kind of, you know. It's just there. Mahomes never makes a bad play like Jordan. So, that's why that's two for me. I think seeing how that plays out with, is this the year? I mean, if KC loses this game, I feel like this is the year that they finally don't win the division. I mean, this would be set them pretty far back.
They'd be very far back.
First time in God, how many years? It's been obviously probably 8-9 years. So,
yeah.
There's that. Third for me was Tampa Bay Buffalo, which I don't really have any additional thoughts because I want to save my time right now for Detroit at Philly. And I am pissed that game is the Sunday night game. I can't watch the Eagles. I can't do it. They're just so boring to watch. The only redeeming quality about this game is that Dan Campbell's involved. But my God, I can't. The Eagles play the most boring football, Rob. It's so bad. They have so much talent, and they don't execute anything. It's like Alex Van Pelt, our offensive coordinator. They have all these talented guys, and they just. It's so hard to watch. I don't know how you do it. I get it. They're your team. They're your blood. Whatever. My God, I don't know if I'm gonna watch Sunday Night Football. I mean, I'll watch it obviously, and we're not gonna be recording, which would be nice. But my goodness, Rob. Philly is unwatchable right now.
You know what unwatchable. Has to happen? You know what has to happen?
What?
What's Someone that? Has to beat them. That's the problem. They get away with it. They get away with it because they're in their mind, if we are 100% in the red zone and we don't turn the ball over, more than often than not, we'll win. And that's what they do.
Played a 10-7 game last week. I
know.
I watched, you know what, though? The Patriots play a 10-7 game against, who is it, the Giants or the Colts, somebody in overseas. Whatever it was last year, the year before, it was the worst football game I've ever seen in my life. I've watched a million freaking games.
It was bad.
10-7 is awful.
65% of that blame can go right on the job squad across the field from them.
Fine. I know you hate the Packers. I'm not.
I just hate Jordan Love. It's not even that I hate the Packers. I hate Jordan Love.
It's just they're really hard to watch. They just are. I have Eagles fatigue. In a sense, not so much that they win. I don't care that they win. I just, the style of play is so boring to watch.
It's worse this year.
It's so boring.
Yeah, it's worse this year. The problem is they keep promoting, like every time they promote an offensive coordinator that's a Sirianni guy, they're just so stale offensively. They really need to hire a coordinator from outside the organization. Part of me, you know, it's funny, like they're good, they're winning. You know, I want them to improve and continue winning. If they don't go deep on a deep run, please, please just blow up and then fire the offensive coordinator and bring in like a real person to run the offense, like you did last year. And even Kellen Moore was kind of boring, but that's how I feel about that. But fair enough. And there's nothing wrong with having Eagles fatigue. I'm a fan, and my whole life I've had Eagles fatigue.
Since we never get a chance to do this, and I know this wasn't the plan, but we're going for it, or I'm going for it. Make your picks. Commanders at Miami in Madrid. Miami favored by 2.5. Go.
So we're going with spreads?
Spreads.
I love this. Yes, we never get to do this. All right. I know. Miami. You know what? I'll
go first, Miami.
I like Miami too.
Yeah. Commanders below.
They're terrible. All right.
Carolina at Atlanta. I'm not in New York. I'm not in Atlanta. Carolina at Atlanta. Atlanta favored by 3.5. You know who I'm going with.
I'm going with Atlanta.
Oh, give me my Panthers. They just when you think they're going to suck, they'll randomly beat Atlanta 30-0 earlier this year.
You know what? I have a feeling that after that Saints game, I think the Panthers may finish the season 5-12.
Okay. We'll see.
Tampa Bay, I'm so Buffalo, disappointed in them.
We won't do them. We already picked that.
Well, we didn't do the spread.
Well, sorry. Tampa Bay, Buffalo, Buffalo 5.5. Buffalo.
I'll go Bills. Yeah. That's a sucker line right there. Anything between 4.5 and 5.5 is usually a don't touch this line.
Don't touch.
But we have to make picks. This is I'm being forced.
Houston at Tennessee, where you could get in to Nissan Stadium for as low as $14.
Oh my God, that's incredible. Houston, we should just go.
Houston, Houston on the road, 5.5-point favorites with an over-under of 37.5.
Could you imagine if we missed all the games on this
prime time? Can I flex this? Get the Eagles and Lions out of there. Give me Texans, Titans with Davis Mills against Cam Ward.
Oh my God. You know what? I'm going Titans to cover. Davis Mills is going to cover on the road a touchdown. No.
You know what I'm going with?
What?
Not spending $14 to go to that game live.
Could you imagine if we skipped this great slate of games and missed all of them so we could go to Tennessee for $14?
You're in the front row. You could probably heckle Cam Ward right from the front row. All right, I'll go with the Texans. Not that we're ever going to play this back and judge who won or lost. I'll go with the Texans.
I'm going over the picks next week.
Chicago, Da Bears. At the Vikings, 1 o'clock game, US Bank Stadium, Minnesota at home, favored by 2.5.
Quick thought on this. I don't have a read on either of these teams. Like at all.
How are the Bears 6-3?
They're playing Caleb Williams is playing really well, actually. If you look at his numbers, you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked.
This is my shocked face.
Do you know? Do you have any idea what his numbers are?
No. Well, I mean, I have an idea, but
I mean they're okay. His completion percentage sucks, 60.8. But he's averaging 237 yards per game, 13 touchdowns, 4 picks. Not bad. Wow.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Vikings because this feels like a trap. This is like hey, everybody, take the Bears money line. They're the better team on the road and, you know, the playing a 4-5 team. And I feel like that the home team covers every time. So I'm going to go with the Vikings. I mean,
give me the Vikes as well.
Yeah.
Green Bay on the road. After their sizzling 10-7 loss last week against Philly, short week.
Packers -7. Jameis Winston's going to throw 5 interceptions this game.
Jameis Winston is going to cover and win this game outright.
Oh, I mean, I would love that. I would love that. Anytime Jordan Love loses, I'm pro that.
The Giants are going to win this game outright.
Love it.
Interim head coach.
I will take it.
Veteran quarterback.
Mike Kafka and Jameis Winston over Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love.
I'm doing it.
Do it.
Bengals at Steelers. Pittsburgh 5.5-point favorites.
I don't ever think the Steelers are going to cover 5.5 points ever. I don't think there's been a Steelers game since the Roethlisberger era where I thought the Steelers are going to cover 5.5.
Over under is 49.5. If you'd like to
over, what are we doing? Over.
That's my bet on that one. I'm going over.
I'm gonna be
over by halftime.
I'm going Bengals to cover one because Joe Flacco annihilates Mike Tomlin all the time. And two, the Steelers can win 38-34, but I don't see them covering the 5.5. So I'll go Bengals in the over.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Can I do a tease?
Bengals in the over. No teases left.
I'll take Bengals 11.5 plus 11.5 and over 43.
Okay. Next one is the Chargers at the Jaguars. Chargers on the road, 2.5 point favorites. Two teams with winning records.
I think the Jags are kind of cooked. But I don't like the Chargers.
I'll take the Chargers. I agree with you on the Jags.
I'll take the Chargers too. I'll take the Chargers.
Seahawks at Rams. Rams 3.5 point favorites. You already know where I'm going since I'm picking the Seahawks to win.
Yes, and I am picking the Rams to win, but you have a hook on that three?
I got a hook right now, yeah.
Right, I'll take Seahawks to cover.
Niners at the Marvin Harrison Jr.-less Arizona Cardinals.
Return of Brock Purdy.
Return of Brock Purdy on the road, 2.5 point favorites.
Ooh, it was 3. What am I doing? Niners. Niners. Cardinals are horrible.
Baltimore at Cleveland. Baltimore, 7.5 point favorites.
Cleveland. Baltimore. Cleveland okay. cover.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson. I still think that defense is good enough to keep him in games. I've seen the Ravens for some reason play like crap against Cleveland on the road. I'm going Cleveland to cover, Baltimore to win.
All right, I got Baltimore covering. Kansas City at Denver. Kansas City. Wow, this line actually surprises me a lot. Kansas City, 3.5 point favorites.
That's an interesting
line.
I love the under 45, by the way.
Yep.
That's a high.
Yeah, it's going to be like a.
It's going to be like 20-10. Yeah. 20-10. I'm saying 20-10 Chiefs, and I'll take Chiefs to cover.
I'll take the Chiefs to cover. Detroit at Philly. The line is over under 45 minutes that I watch this game.
Under.
Eagles are 2.5 favorites at home.
Yeah, it's a suspicious line. I'm going to take the Eagles because I think they're trying to bait people into taking the Lions.
Give me Detroit. And then Monday night, Dallas at Vegas. Again, could have been any other game.
What a way to end the slate. Like the last week, we opened the slate with a Thursday night game. Broncos 10, Raiders 7. And then it ended with Eagles 10, Packers 7. And now we get the Raiders back-to-back primetime games.
Dallas is 3.5 point favorites.
I don't care. No, that's the thing. I don't care.
Okay. You don't
have to. I would print a ticket and just write "I don't care" on it and hand it in. Although my favorite name in the NFL and one of my favorite players in the NFL that's on the team I hate the most is back for this game.
What's his name?
DeMarvian Overshown is back. One of my favorite players in the league. So I'll take the Cowboys in the name of DeMarvian Overshown. And if they lose, what a tragedy to the Raiders.
And the Colts and the Saints are on bye, so the Saints will not pick up an L this week. But what would the score be if the Colts played the Saints right now on a neutral field?
31-11, Colts.
Okay. And then last one from me is we're getting fast and loose here on a Friday. Fantasy question. Put on your fantasy hat for my son's fantasy football team. Right. This is for Ethan.
It's for Ethan. That's fine. Do it for Ethan. That's fine. I'll do it for Ethan.
We need a W. All right.
We
just lost Jackson Dart. So we have.
What are you, in last place?
No, we're middling. Well, we had Joe Burrow.
Okay.
We struggled to start. Fair enough. Joe Burrow. We lost Bucky Irving. Okay. We lost CeeDee Lamb for a few weeks. It's been tough.
But it's trouble.
We're 5-5, I think.
No one has survived in fantasy sports the way you have. I've never seen a guy stream the weekly right like you. Yeah, you are very good at not bottoming out.
I have a history of poor drafting and then just excellent general managing.
Yeah.
So anyways, here are the choices. And again, if anybody in the Foxborough community is going to pick these people up before I could do it.
Oh, yeah. Comment. Subscribe.
I currently have Tua in Spain against the Commanders defense.
Okay. I like that. The Commanders defense is a pile. They are a pile. Dan Quinn's really calling their defense starting this week, which, like, I don't know, whatever. It's just going to be cover three.
Yeah. Or I could pick up Purdy at the Cardinals.
Cardinals defense can be
a little feisty.
They can feist.
They got sweat, you know. They got...
I do. I kind of like Tua against the Commanders. Commanders are in Bengals territory right now.
Yeah,
where they're playing to what they should have played at last year, except they benefited from their offense being on the field for so long. But yeah, I think the Commanders defense is garbage. I would say Tua over Purdy for sure. Yeah, okay. I would say two over Purdy, yeah.
All right, well, I will tell Ethan that Uncle Rob said to go with Tua, and if we lose, you will, you know, we will call you out next week.
Famously bad at this. I that's why I quit fantasy years ago.
I just the Tua thing, I'm basically just banking on the Commander's defense being terrible.
I know,
but Tua is not going to throw the ball down the field. Like, there's very few explosive plays there unless Achane breaks one. Like a swing pass. Like, at least Purdy, you have McCaffrey who can do that. You have Kittle. You have Juwan Jennings. You have Pierce all back. Like, there's just more.
I don't like the divisional game. Okay. You know, first game back. And also, like, what if Purdy struggles for like a quarter? Like, how quick does Kyle Shanahan be like, nah, I'm putting Mac Jones back in?
Okay. That's fair.
This could be the Tua concussion week. Yeah.
I also could go with Mariota in that same game against the Dolphins defense.
No. Mariota's Dolphins defense. But I know Dolphins defense played great last week. Maybe they are feeling something.
Or Davis Mills. Somehow Davis Mills projected to get 18.2 points because it's at Tennessee.
I don't even have Tennessee covering that game. I don't know. Yeah. Davis Mills also was terrible until that huge comeback. I'm stick with your guns.
Here's the lineup. This is the crap squad we're rolling out.
Here we go.
Well, because Bucky Irving's out, Chris Olave's on bye, Dalton Kincaid's out, and Jackson Dart's out, and Joe Burrow's out. So if Tua, our running backs are Rashad White, who's splitting carries with Sean Tucker, and Amari DiMercato of the Cardinals.
Oh man.
Yep.
CD Sean Lamb. Tucker, by the way. Sean Tucker sounds like the name of a rapper. That's like their real name, but we only know them as their alias. Like, for all I know, Big X the Plug could be Sean Tucker.
I could pick up Sean Tucker and play him and play both running backs. Amari DiMercato. Don't know if he's gonna touch the ball. CD Lamb and T. Higgins. The wideouts, which are, you know, Higgins, you want to talk about. Somebody dropped Higgins when Burrow got hurt because he wasn't playing well with Browning. And I was like, I will scoop you up, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hunter Henry, I had a tight end last night who that last deflected ball May was going from in the end zone. That would have been nice, but he got 8.5 points, whatever. Fine. Some guy named Michael Wilson is my flex. He's a Cardinal. So I'm starting two
Cardinals. Is he the head coach of the Titans?
I'm starting two Cardinals. I'm starting DiMercato and Michael Wilson because Marvin Harrison Jr. is a
receiver. Wide receiver?
Yeah.
I've never heard of Michael Wilson. I watch football. I have no idea who Michael Wilson is.
I also
don't know who coaches the Titans, so that's fine.
I'm somehow starting two Cardinals. And the Chargers defense at Jacksonville, and then Evan McPherson as my kicker.
All right.
So you think that team can take down Pat Mahomes, James Cook, George Kittle? Yeah, we'll see.
Probably not.
But you never know. There's a lot of time.
A young Craig Kalati would have made the mistake of picking up Brock Purdy because he wants to cancel out George Kittle. But an older Craig Kalati knows that's not the play.
the older Rob Snyder forgets that there's still 48 hours for older Craig Kalani to remanage. Yeah, there's still plenty of time here.
Oh God.
This has been fun. I like the Friday night.
It has
night.
Been fun. Yeah. No, this was enjoyable. It's good fun. Yeah. I like, every once in a while we get to preview. It's fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? I hope the people enjoyed it as much as we did. Enjoy your football weekend. Come back and tell us how we did and how you enjoyed it. Feel free to comment. Do me a favor. If you're listening or watching this on YouTube, do what you want, but do one thing for me. Comment. If you were able to just watch football all day, so I can pretend that I lived your life just for that day.
Please do it.
All right. For Craig, I'm Rob. We will run the damn podcast again with you next week.